and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing in our series in Matthew's Gospel, and this week we again see the way in which Jesus exercised his authority over sickness and death, as we reflect upon the way in which Jesus heals two women, one older and one younger, one who had been suffering for 12 years with bleeding, and a 12-year-old girl who had suddenly died. Both of these situations were impossible for people to remedy, but not for God. So let me read from Matthew 9, verse 18 to verse 26. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. This girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. So in Mark's version of this story, we're told that the woman with the bleeding had spent all her money on various doctors and they had only made it worse. So that seemed like such an impossible situation. And of course, no ordinary human being could raise a dead girl to life. So both of these seemed hopeless. And yet Jairus, the girl's father, had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter even from death. And the woman believed just touching Jesus' cloak would bring her healing. Both these people had desperate and seemingly hopeless situations. And both of these people trusted in Jesus' healing. So let us look at each situation separately, starting with the dying daughter. Matthew, Mark and Luke all mention this occurrence, each giving little details that paint a fuller picture. Matthew tells us that the synagogue leader that approached Jesus, and Mark and Luke specifically mention that his name is Jairus. Now let's pause for a moment and consider who this man was. He was in a position of power, influence and authority. This would have been the first century version of a VIP among the Jews. He was someone who was in charge of running the synagogue. He would be responsible for arranging people to do the readings, the prayers, preaching during the service. It is also likely that he had been among the strictly traditional religious elite who rejected Jesus and considered him to be a dangerous heretic. After all, to become the synagogue leader, they had to be elected by the elders, and so it is likely he'd share the same views as those who got into conflict with Jesus throughout the Gospels. And yet, this man, who previously held dislike and distrust of Jesus, comes before him and kneels at his feet, pleading with Jesus to heal his daughter. In his desperation, this synagogue leader turns to Jesus and speaks with fervent faith, "Come and put your hand on her and she will live." I love the compassion and mercy of Jesus. He could have easily turned Jairus away. After all, this is someone who opposed him until he suddenly had need of Jesus. And yet, Jesus did not hesitate. He did not scoff. He immediately got up and went with Jairus. This is something that I want to comfort us with. Sometimes we find ourselves ignoring God or even deliberately walking away from him. We might even try to oppose him or claim he doesn't exist. But he is always waiting for that moment for you to turn back. And he doesn't hold your past against you. No matter what your relationship with God has been like in the past, God always welcomes you to have an intimate, loving relationship with Him right now. God does not hold back from offering His love and mercy. So if you feel like you've been distant from God or holding back from Him, take this moment to return to Him with the certain knowledge that you will be received with His abundant grace and love. Because Jesus is forever compassionate and He loves to welcome us. So Jesus doesn't turn Jairus away. Instead, He immediately gets up to follow Jairus. And after a moment spent caring for a woman with the bleeding, Jesus gets to Jairus' house, where He finds a household full of chaos, of mourning for the girl. Now, for us in the 21st century Western world, it might seem strange that there was so much going on. But in first century Middle Eastern customs, there were a lot of things that were required when mourning. There were numerous rules that stipulated how people should mourn, and as Jairus was a synagogue leader, it would be expected that he would follow the rules to the letter. Mourning was considered an important way of dealing with the reality of death, and various rites encompassed the mourning's clothing, diet, relationships, and religious activities. For example, there were at least 39 rules covering how one's clothing should be torn to demonstrate their sorrow. Families were expected to hire flute players and professional mourners. In the Talmud, it specifies, "The husband is bound to bury his dead wife and to wail and mourn for her according to the custom of all countries. And also the poorest among the Israelites will not allow him less than 2 flutes and a weeping wife. But if he is rich, let all things be done according to his qualities." So it would have been a noisy, chaotic scene that Jesus entered into. I find it interesting that Jairus was willing to be seen escorting Jesus into his house with all these witnesses who would share what they saw with the rest of the Jewish community. After all, Jairus was a synagogue leader. To be seen with Jesus would severely impact his status and position. But clearly Jairus' desperation was so intense that he was willing to do anything to see his daughter raised to life. It would also seem to indicate the level of trust that he had that Jesus would heal his daughter. After all, if Jesus failed, I imagine Jairus would have been mocked for trusting in Jesus. So Jairus took a chance by putting his faith in Jesus to heal his daughter. Is there anything that you feel like you are having to take a leap of faith with by trusting Jesus to answer? Is there anything that you know you should be trusting Jesus with but haven't placed into his hands yet? Let this story give you courage. Jairus took a leap of faith in placing his hope that Jesus wouldn't let his daughter remain dead, in risking his reputation and status to bring Jesus to the house. And his faith was not in vain. Jesus entered the house and told the mourners, "Go away, the girl is not dead but asleep." And then he takes the girl by the hand and raises her from death. The mourners were so caught up in their mourning, almost basking in it, that they were offended even by the hope that Jesus gave them. But Jairus allowed Jesus in to see the girl, and his faith was rewarded with the child coming to life again. What are you trusting Jesus with? What do you need to trust him with? Trust the God who raises little girls from the dead with whatever is troubling you, and know that nothing is impossible for him. He longs to lead you into the right path, so trust him with everything. Don't let other people scare you off from trusting in him. Jairus could have heard the crowd mocking and laughing at Jesus and lost his confidence in letting Jesus see his daughter. But instead he ignored the crowds and let Jesus in. So let Jesus into your fears and trust that he can deal with them whatever they are. So that was the healing of Jairus' daughter, and now we turn to the healing of the woman who had experienced bleeding for 12 years. Now, we don't know exactly what was wrong with this woman, but it is likely that this was something to do with the woman's menstrual cycle, meaning that she had abnormally prolonged periods leading to near constant bleeding. Along with this physical condition was the social condition. When a woman was on her period, it was considered that that woman would be unclean for the length of the bleeding and for 7 days afterwards. This meant that any woman who was bleeding had to be separate from the rest of society. Thus, they could not be in physical contact with anyone without making them unclean. They could not handle objects without contaminating them. They could not go into the temple. After 7 days had passed, they had to have a richly purifying bath. As well as bringing a sacrifice to cleanse them. This was the reality for women during the first century. So for the woman who suffered from bleeding for 12 years, it was so much worse. This woman suffered physically from the constant bleeding, likely also causing her to become anemic, making her very weak and easily fatigued. She suffered socially and psychologically, as she is cast out from society and told she is unclean and contaminating. And she suffered financially, as she would not have a husband who would normally provide financially for a woman, and she spent what money she did have on physicians who were unable to cure her. This woman suffered so completely because of the physical condition that ailed her, and so she would have been desperate. This desperation and her fervent belief that just touching Jesus' robes led her to act in ways that were strictly forbidden by the culture. She joined the crowd, which she would not have been allowed to do because of the possibility of physical touch with others making them unclean. And then she deliberately stretched out to touch another, which would have made that person unclean. But this woman is so desperate and so determined that she considered it worth the risk. If she was found to be deliberately contaminating someone, she would have been severely punished. So I imagine, when Jesus turned around, singling her out to speak to her, she would have been terrified that she was about to be severely punished. And yet, when Jesus turned to her, he says, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." By publicly declaring her healed, Jesus doesn't just take away the physical condition. He also takes away the social stigma, the cultural isolation. Her story probably would have been known by others, so they would know that she was unclean and not to be approached. Jesus declared her clean and so restored her to the community again. She was once again able to participate in society. She was once again allowed into the temple. I also think Jesus' words healed something in her psychologically and spiritually. For 12 years, she would have been an outcast from society, rejected by family, friends, and strangers. Possibly since she started puberty, she would have been isolated. And yet Jesus turns to her and calls her daughter. It demonstrates the tenderness with which Jesus restores her. He recognises her and heals her not just from the physical wounds, but also the mental ones. For years she had no one, and now someone turns to her and calls her daughter. She is restored as a daughter of Israel. No one can tell her that she doesn't belong any longer. She now has all the rights and opportunities of the other women. This must have been such a freeing feeling for her. The healing this woman experienced was complete restoration. We all need healing of different things at different times in our lives. If there is something that you want God to heal for you, reach out to God right now. Let him place his powerful healing, his restoration, his complete restoration. Healing doesn't just have to be from a physical problem. Healing can be our whole life. It can be mentally, spiritually, financially, anything that makes us feel like we are broken, God can heal. So reach out to him. Allow him to place his healing power upon you. He knows what healing you need best, so allow him to work. Call out to God. God loves to heal. He loves to restore, not just a little bit, but completely. So allow God to restore you now. As we have seen, Jesus reached out and healed. He healed the little girl with a touch. The woman with bleeding was healed when she touched Jesus' cloak. They both were given back their lives, given a second chance to live in unity with God and others. Jesus wants you to have a chance to live in unity with God and others. So as you come before him now, give him your everything and allow him to remake you and to restore you. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you look down upon us and you love us. You look at us with compassion and mercy. You see our painful states and you reach out your hand in love, in compassion and in healing. Father, whatever is troubling each one of us today, whatever things we are needing healing from, I pray that we would put it into your hands and trust you, the God of restoration, to work to restore those things that are needed. Lord, we lift up your name and we worship you. We pray, please, Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.